Tonight our class is on Chayesara, and what we're going to see, there's an underlying theme, which I'm just finding the more that I look at the commentary of the Ksavei HaKabbalah, is that in addition to some of the innovative commentary, which you know goes against the mold of things which we're more familiar with, what he does a lot is he finds a word which doesn't really make sense in the context, but we kind of gloss over it and skip over it when we translate it. And he says, no, I'm not going to play that game. I need to explain and I need to understand what this word means. And as I think I mentioned last week, what he'll often do is he'll find another usage of the same word elsewhere in Tanakh, which has a different meaning. So we're going to see that a couple times. We'll see that a few times tonight, where a word that we're familiar with one meaning, as I mean, anybody who knows Hebrew, you know that a shoresh, sometimes a shoresh has multiple meanings, and depending on the context in which it's used, that would determine what its meaning is. Okay, so let's begin. I think this is the only really long commentary that we're going to look at tonight, is the one on the first pasuk, and that is of course page 106, the first pasuk in Chayesara, in which the pasuk says the following. So the life of Sarah was 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. So how do we translate the last three words of the pasuk? Well, take a look at our scroll. What it says? The years of Sarah's life. Okay, so what's the obvious question? You just told us that the life of Sarah was 127 years. Okay, so why are you saying Shnei Chaye Sarah? The years of Sarah's life? Thank you very much. You just told me. So he says, nope. What is Shnei Chaye Sarah? What's another translation of the word Shnei?
To repeat? To review? No?
No, just tell me the translation. Two. Okay? The two lives of Sarah. Now, Sarah's last name wasn't Katz. That's my mother's maiden name. Okay? But it wasn't Katz. So Sarah didn't have 9 lives. She didn't have 2 lives. So what's he talking about? So let's take a look. Why does it say Shnei Chaye Sarah after it already says that the life of Sarah was? It's coming to teach us an amazing thing about Sarah. And this is why we don't always do this when we're reading a commentary, but sometimes we get real mussar. We get a real life lesson that's brought out of the commentary. And this is what we're supposed to take from this one. Ha'adam l'mala so'al kol nivraim. Mitzad arkavaso mi'chomir ha'afar v'hanefesh ha'ruchani. A person's mila, what makes a person greater than all other creations, is that on the one hand we have the chomir ha'afar, we're created of dust of the earth, but we also have a nefesh ruchani, a spirit. Yesh l'mala lihem mitzad ha'nagaso esatzmo. Right, the way that a person behaves. So, I mean, obviously, God, when God created animals, it says, "Vayipach b'aparam nishmas ruach hayim," right? Everybody has the breath of life, but an animal isn't culpable for its behavior. An animal acts based on instinct. It can learn things, right? In some cases, animals can be trained. But the bottom line is, a dog is a dog is a dog, right? A human being is a human being. And that is the difference, because the person is actually judged based on its behavior. All creatures only live a physical existence. And things which are in the upper realm live only a spiritual existence. A person is supposed to live a double kind of existence. Chiyus gashmi, v'chiyus ruchnius. Ki minat zorech elav lehashgiach tamid. That a person needs to take care of physical needs. A person needs to eat. A person needs to drink. A person needs to sleep. These are all things to help the physical body survive. Right. So all the business that a person deals with. All this deals with this world's experience. A person also needs to live a spiritual existence, because his soul is from the upper realm. And that refers to spiritual pursuits, such as studying Torah and fulfilling mitzvos. Ushnei mine hachayim ha'ela hamiyudim l'chol adam. And these two forms of existence, which are the destiny of every human being, because the human being is the highest level of creation. So tzrichim liyos agudim achuzim nitzmadim yachad lo yispardu li'olam. They're part and parcel of who a person is. You can't separate the two. They have to work for one another. Okay, what does that mean? That kigam beisko beinyanei tzarchei gufo lo yetachas mechuvam imenu rak tzarchei lamazeh. When a person is dealing with the person's needs for the body, a person shouldn't be thinking, I'm eating to eat, for example. I'm sleeping to sleep. I'm eating because I love eating. I'm sleeping because I love sleeping. The person has to think, why am I doing this physical thing? To feed my spiritual needs. If he's going to be doing all these things, eating, drinking, walking, sitting, getting up, tashmish refers to presumably marital relations here, v'sicha, and talking, the tzarchei gufo, if it's only for his physical pleasure, if it's only to fulfill the desires, he's no different than an animal. An animal eats because an animal needs to eat. An animal mates because an animal needs to mate. An animal sleeps because it's tired. Ela behemos vechayos she'ena misaskim rak tzorchei guf from the bottom. All they do is they deal with their physical needs. Aval minachiyuv lios obed esboro tamid gam beskav tzorchei gufo. So in order to serve his creator all the time, he needs to fulfill his physical needs so that he can to fulfill his spiritual needs. Bachila, what's the point of eating? Lahavriyas gufo, to keep his body healthy. Lios roi lavodas baro, so that he could serve his creator. Bishena, why does he sleep? Laseis l'gufo menucha, l'sarach abriyus, to give his body rest for health reasons. Shaloti teravalav da'ato machmas minyas hashena, so that his brain can function for all that it needs to, Torah wise, for example. And that it shouldn't shut off because he's exhausted. Klal adavar. Hadam mitzad ma'alasot tzarech tamid lishkol b'moznei sichlo v'tzarech tachlis nafshi v'ruchani b'chol tashmishi artziim b'gufanim. A person, this is the rule. He says a person needs to use his sechel and make a good balance. Lishkol b'moznei sichlo, the balance of his mind, to figure out how can I utilize the needs of my body in order to feed the needs of my soul. That's the goal. So now if you skip to the end of the six lines from the bottom, you know, he just continues along that line. He says, "V'al derech zeh hu chayei olam hazeh mitzurafim chayei olam haba." That through that combination, the life of this world is combined with the life of the next world. V'zeh shi'ita Torah sari menu. And so now he just gets back to the original point. This is what the Torah is showing us and testifying for us regarding our mother Sarah, that while she was living in this existence where her neshama was with her, her life was chayim kfulim haniskarim. This double life that we're talking about. And that's what the pasuk is telling us: the two lives of Sarah. It wasn't just a physical existence. She divided her existence with that beautiful balance of using the physical to feed the spiritual. That's what it is. It's the number two. Sorry.
Yeah, it says
right, okay. The zweifache Lebensschras.
Okay, zweifach being a double thing.
Right, and that's the point. That the word shnei chayesara means two, doesn't mean years.
So using this reasoning, why is it only with Sarah that you have, you know, Avraham and
his great,
there were other people.
So we're going to get into something about Avraham towards the end. Okay, we actually saw something about that in the Kliyaka last year, do you remember? Fail. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, no problem. But we're gonna get. Okay, we're gonna get to Avram towards the end, because there's actually a different phrase about Abraham. Okay. Look, it's just. It's, No. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Okay. All right. So I just wanted to share that with you, and that's the longest one that we're gonna do tonight. And now for the rest of the class, we're for the most part gonna be looking at words which he's giving us a new translation of, and if it's not a new translation, then it's obviously it's a commentary which is unique in the sense that I certainly hadn't heard it before in most of these cases before preparing the class, and so that is why that usually is what drives my sharing with you in the evening. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. So we know in the Parsha, Sarah dies, and Abram comes in Pasuk Beis to give a hesped for her and to cry for her. Yakam Abraham al panei meso. Abraham gets up. Me'al panei meso. How would you translate me'al panei meso? That he gets up from, you know, from the dead, right? How would you translate me'al panei meso?
From the face of the dead.
Above the face of the dead.
What does that mean?
Mama's looking at it.
So looking at it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. The term al panei is used elsewhere in the Torah to describe like another one of you die al panei Aaron. So in other words, they die in the life of Aaron. Haran dies al panei Terach Aviv, and that in those contexts, I think it's Rashi who says that it's b'chaye his father in the life of. But I mean that's silly here. May al panei may so. That's not what it's referring to in the life of. I mean obviously, right? It's clear. So what's another way of understanding it? May al panei literally on the face. Take a look what he says. What's Avram doing? He's going over to the people of the Bnei Ches, and he's trying to appeal to them, give me a place, a burial spot. He basically revealed her face. What do we know about Sarah? Sarah is the most beautiful woman who ever lived. Right? Ava Gardner. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. That's what I used to say about Ava Gardner. She was the most beautiful woman in Hollywood. Okay, but the point is that the appeal to why I need to bury her is because how can you let such a beautiful person just lie here? I need to find a place. That will soften up the hearts of those listening to him. He's getting an emotional appeal. And you get a sense that maybe they don't want to sell so much. But he's tugging at the heartstrings through uncovering her face. So I thought that's a new interpretation of me'al panei. Never heard of it before, and right, that is why I shared. But it's literal. I mean, al panei.
Okay. So on the face. So he revealed her face.
Right. In other words, she's here. Avram spoke to Sarah, but Livkosa. This is Sarah. Avram's on her, right? Vayakam Avraham me'al panei me'so. Hey, folks, I got a bear. That's basically it. That's how he is.
Okay.
Okay, and he has a longer comment. Whenever I put the three dots, I took out some stuff, but that's the point. Okay, so he gets into negotiations with Ephron, actually before he gets into the negotiations with Ephron, he asks the people to bring Ephron to him. Why Ephron? Who is Ephron? So finally, Pasuk Yud introduces us to Ephron. Ve'Ephron yoshev sof neches v'yan Ephron hachiti. So Ephron comes along and he's sitting b'soch b'nei ches, yoshev b'soch b'nei ches. So it's on that he tells us something. Now I'm not sure why he talks about ksiv chaser, because it's not over here. One of the times that Ephron's name appears,
it's we're missing the vote.
Yeah, but it's not every time. It's only one time.
Bad guy.
So which time is it? It's not appearing that way in the Arch Chumash. So where is it?
Right here, Ephron pasuk tesayin.
Pasuk design.
It's missing right. The vote.
Right, so there. Okay, but it's not on Pasuk Yud. So let's see what he says here. Ksiv chaser, it's written one time with, I'm sorry, it's the word yoshev which is chaser.
Yeah, yoshev.
Okay, yoshev is missing a vote. That's what it's referring to. Because Osa Yom Minu Shoter Elihem. He was appointed an officer over them. So he quotes Rashi. Keshe didakdeik, timtsash, v'komokom shumar kasaploni, Yoshev b'soch ha'am or b'soch ha'kohol v'edo chodameh. Anytime you find that somebody is described as sitting amongst the people or amongst the nation, haratzon bo le'olam she'enoik shirar b'neim, it's showing us that the person has assumed a position of authority. And he gives a few examples, and I just left two of them here. The first one is the Isha Shunamis. Remember the Haftorah? When's that? Is that last week's Haftorah? Right, this past Shabbos. The Isha Shunamis, where Elisha says to her, should I present you to the king or to somebody important? And what does she say? B'toch ami anochi yashaves. Look after the parenthesis in the second to last line. She says, I'm an important lady. I don't need a middleman to get to the important people. And the proof is, who's the other example we had in last week's Parsha, also in the Parsha, not in the Torah? Who? Lot. And that's the last one. L'chein al v'lot yoshev b'shar sedom. That he's also assumed to be a shofet. Okay, so that's just a theme, and which he's getting. So that's not a new definition of a word, but it's a theme which he's pulling out, and he's using other instances to prove the point. Okay, now this one I enjoyed very much. Pasuk Yud Zayin. So after Avram and Ephron, they have the negotiation and they make the deal. Avram gives 400 shekel kesef over la socher pasuk zayin. Vayakom stay Ephron asher b'machpelah. Vayakom stay hamachpelah. What does that mean? What does the vayakom sound like?
Get up.
Stood up. The field stood up.
It was raised. The importance of it was raised.
Ah, okay. Okay. So that. But is that what vayakom really means? So actually, the art scroll translates it the way that he translates it. Now, how do they translate it? Their translation is at the end of the pasuk.
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
What do they say?
Confirmed.
It was confirmed.
Lakim, to establish.
Right.
Like
kayam.
Kayam. Exactly. Yeah.
So that is interesting. You know, it's striking because vayakam. You know, you think vayakam, like when somebody, right? You know that when vayakam is attached to a person, right? Vayakam Avraham, right? Me al panei meso. Avraham stood up. That's a person. But here we're talking about a field.
Including a deal on the field.
Right. But right, exactly. That's the point. So look at it. Yeah, stay pro. Ayidekesef kama sadeh liosol Avram lemikneth. That through the money, the sadeh was come. What does that mean? Come. V'lama shelimdu rabbi sein mikan and mocher sadeh tzarach lichtov lo sa sadeh v'asimanav. So there's two things which he teaches here. One is that when you sell a field, you have to write down all the boundaries. Right? It says Vayakam stay Ephron, Asher b'machpelah, right? It's describing everything about it. So she makes sure that that's clear. Near the Farish Vayakam, Niskayim lo, Ayideh Sefer Mekneh. That it was established now that it's here. And or as the article puts it, it was confirmed. V'chein ayakam subo, stay Ephron, Asher b'machpelah, Avraham l'mekneh, la'inei b'nei ches, Vayakam is lashon, kiyum. Okay, so that is.
So what's the second thing? So there's two things.
No, the first one is the teaching that when you sell a field, you have to write down all the borders. And the second teaching is that the word vayakam is from the word kiyum. Okay, that's the two points that he makes here. Okay?
Perfect.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay, good. Good. New stuff. That's the whole point. That's what we're here for. Learn new stuff. Okay, we move on. And we move into chapter 24. Okay, so in chapter 24 is when Abraham calls in his servant. And he tells him that I need you to do this favor for me, and you're going to go. In Pasuk Gimel, he says, "Yashbi Achav Hashem Elokei Hashemayim." Now on page 110 of the Chumash, "Yashbi Achav Hashem Elokei Hashemayim." Second line, I'm going to have you swear in the name of God, who's God of the heavens, Elokei Haaretz, God of the earth. Asher lo sitach isha l'bnei bebno sakanani, asher anochi yoshei b'kavod. That you're not going to take a woman from the daughters of the Canaanites, my son. Amongst whom I'm living amongst the Canaanite. Okay, so what's the issue? What's the issue with the daughters of Canaan? So last year we learned two things. One, that Canaan is cursed, right? That's the Noah story, and the second one is that because the Mechutanim will be over there. So Yitzchak won't be attached to that family because Yitzchak's going to live near me. Okay, that's what we saw last year. So let's take a look at what he says. Hakananim ayuroyim b'midos of ma'asim. The Kananim had bad midos, bad deeds. Be'emuna b'shubeshes. They had messed up beliefs. Ve'ela yasu roshim b'gufa b'nefesh. Okay, so that's a similar idea to what we learned with the Kliyaka last year. That they'll, if Yitzchak lives near his in-laws, bad. It's not. It's just not a good arrangement. And that influence is gonna pass along. Right, just different, like, what's sinna? Hatred, nekima is revenge, achzarius is cruelty. These are things which you don't want. And that's going to harm the soul and the body. And if you're around angry people, you're going to become an angry people. So those midos, they're going to influence the body. And that's going to influence the children. I don't know why he keeps on repeating himself, but that's the idea. And that's why he took away the he wanted to distance Yitzchak from marrying into the people of Canaan. Omnam, what's the problem? Lavan and Busuel. Any better? Right? Okay. Yeah. So he says, actually, no, there is a difference. Because what's Lavan and Besuel's problem? Simply that
idol worshippers.
They're idol worshippers. But he doesn't think, in other words, the Ksava Kabbalah is not of the view that they have the same bad midos that the local population has. And what's the thing about idolatry? I mean, take a look at anybody even today, right? How many people, when they get to a certain age, do they start thinking about their parents' faith? And they come to their own conclusions, and either they stick with it or they say, you know what? What do I need that for? I'm going to believe what I want to believe. Okay? And the point is that faith, emuna, belief, doesn't necessarily get transmitted, especially if it's, like, you know, I'm sure, like, in his view,
accepted,
right. And especially if it's so just out there, such as avodah zarah. Okay, the most it can do is touch the soul, but that doesn't necessarily follow along to the next children, to future generations. And of course, take a look at Rivka. Right, Rivka is the daughter of Besuel. And what is the key character trait that we see about her?
Chesed,
kindness. Right. So in other words, Avram's looking for midos. That's the point. And Avodah Zarah is something which could be unlearned or rejected. But he's not concerned with that being passed on to the next generation. And his own proof is himself. Now he says, look, I came from an idolater, but I rejected that. But you know, it's the midos which are something which he admired.
Faulty beliefs could be changed.
Right.
But that's, bad midos, that's the point. That's the bottom line.
Yep. That's what he's suggesting in terms of Avram. Obviously, there are other interpretations, but that's his interpretation. Okay. And yes?
The only way out of this mess is that it does affect midos. Idolatry. But not as bad.
But I think his point is that there's a culture and a society which impacts midos even more than idolatry might. If the Canaanite society is such where these kinds of terrible midos are acceptable, I mean, take a look at Sodom. Right? These bad midos are acceptable. Anshei Sodom, ra'im v'chataim l'Hashem ha'od. Anshei Sodom, what, everybody? And the answer is, yes, everybody. Okay, that's the culture.
It's about the problem.
Okay.
Everybody does it a little bit.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay. So, okay. Now, the next idea that we're going to look at is something which until I read this, I didn't even realize that it bothered me, because it really should bother me.
Yeah.
Okay. Pasuk Tezvav. So, if you remember I'm just going to call him Eliezer for ease. He's Avram's servant. He comes to the town. He gets there, and he makes a condition. He says, I'm going to stand by the well, and I'm going to ask a girl to give me water. And if she says, I'll also give you camel's water, then this is the girl who has demonstrated a whole bunch of different things through her kindness and through her thoughtfulness and through her generosity and through her, whatever. I mean, just there are a bunch of different check marks that are being checked off through this test. So he says, if you fulfill my requests, God, during this time, then I'll know that it's the right girl. Okay? Pasuk Tezvav. Vayehi hu terem kilo ledaber. Okay? So what's the question here? By he who terem kilo daber. What's wrong? Why do you have the word who?
Why the word who? Yeah.
By and it was terem kilo daber. Kilo refers to him. Kilo when he finished with that bear to speak. So what's who? By he who terem kilo daber. It's extra. Right? If the Torah doesn't waste a word, so the word who needs explanation. That's what he does. And the farash milas who kama brava mekamos l'nistar yachid. Okay, in other words, you can't translate the word who over here like it is in every other place.
Individually?
Referring to the guy.
The guy.
Okay? Because, first of all, the word, it would be out of place because it should say terem kila hu l'daber at the time when he finished speaking. And so it doesn't work here. So instead, what should it be? What should it be? It's wrong. Remember, a lot of it's every now and then he'll make a comment on the trup. How the trup, so vayhi, hu, the revi'i is a ta'am mafsik. So it's not saying that he's saying that the word hu is specifically not attached to terem kila l'daber because there's a pause after the word hu. Based on the way Chazal punctuated the pasuk, "Vayhi hu." So therefore, what does it mean? What does it mean? V'lochein yitachen ki milas hu kan ledibur hamatzius kamo hu hadavar. Okay, in other words, it's just saying "Vayhi hu." It's emphasizing, and it was "Vayhi hu," and it was. In other words, this was the situation. Ani hu anochi hu mochev v'tamo kan v'yhi hadavar hazeh. What's the Yiddish Rabbi Gosovsky? Diz Geisha. What does that mean?
And it was.
That's all. By he who is attached to the who is by attached to by he, and that's all it's saying. And it's not referring to Eliezer.
So then how does that fit into the pasuk then? How does that fit into the whole story?
No, he's saying by he, but no, it's telling. It's instead of just saying and it was. Okay, so in the English it's the same thing. In the English it's the same thing because when we translate by he we say and it was. By he who means, and the scene was set. That's how I would translate it a little better in English. By he who, and so it was, everything was set, and now the story continues. Terem kilo l'daber. Listen, it's not a big deal, but the point is that he's trying to answer for why this word who is here, and what he's telling us is that the word who is not referring to Eliezer.
That's the bottom line.
That's the chiddush here. And this way, it's not out of place because when you look at it as being attached to Vayahi and the other examples that he brings, Hu Hadavar, Asher Dibar, right? Hu Hadavar. It's like what Yosef says to Paro. Hu Hadavar. This is the thing. In English, we'd say Hadavar. This is the thing. It's the same thing. But in Hebrew, apparently, that word Hu makes a difference in terms of setting the stage for something, and it's not referring to a person. That's the point. Again, is it a big deal? No, but it answers a question for something which, you know, really, it should bother me. Like, why is that word there? And that's his answer. Okay, Pasuk Yitas. Pasuk Yitas. So this is now, she's actually done what she was supposed to do. Actually, I'm just going to go back to... I'm summarizing the next few psukim. Tazayin Yud, Zayin Yud Ches. Right, she goes and she fills, and she keeps on filling her pitcher. And she fills the troughs after she's she fills her pitcher. Pasuk Yitzayin, I'm getting ahead of the story. Pasuk Yitzayin, he runs over to her and he says to her, "Can you give me some water from your pitcher?" Tomer Shasei Adoni, she gives him to drink. Batamaher Batorah Kadal Yadav Batashkeu, she lowers her pitcher, she gives him to drink. Batachal Hashkoso, she finishes giving him to drink. Batomer Gam L'Gamalecha Eshav Adin Kilu L'Shtos, and she says, "I'm also going to give your camels to drink until they are done." Okay? So I mean, it doesn't go out exactly the way that he says, because for example, he had said, if you look back, on the bottom of page 110, in Pasuk Yudalet, he says, "I'm going to ask her to give me, to lower your pitcher, ve'eshte, and I will drink." And she's going to say, "V'gam gmalecha ashke," and I'm also going to give your camels to drink.
Okay,
but and there's this difference between ashke, and she says eshav. Okay, regarding the camels, and to him she says,
"Eshav."
What does she say to him? She actually doesn't say anything to him. She just gives him to drink. He was going to ask Esther, but he didn't ask that. What did he ask instead? He says, "Hagmi'ini min admayim." She says to him, "Shisei Adoni." Okay, so that kind of finishes. But then she finishes lahashkoso to give him the drink. So these are there are different verbs being used here, and she says that I'm going to give the camels eshav, which means more like to draw as opposed to give to drink. But in whatever way she right. That's the point. That's the question. Okay, what's going on here in terms of the change of the language, and how does it fit with what she's supposed to be doing here?
You could lead
the okay? Camel to water. But he diktika b'dvareha. She was very precise with her language. V'lo amra k'moshe amara evich say v'gam g'malecha ashke. She didn't say like he had said. You drink, and I'm also going to give your camels to drink. B'mam arachad. Basically, she'd be saying, "You and the camels, you're the same." So she said to him, "You drink, levat, you alone." And after a moment, in other words, when he was done drinking, "Amra agam legmalecha eshav." Okay, I'm also going to draw.
Also, the ashke and eshav.
Right, and that's what he's saying. "Vegam gam shidita." She also changed. "Velo amra gam legmalecha ashke." Right, I'm giving you to drink, and I'm drawing for them. Okay, so there's that difference as well. So it's an added level of what she turns out to be. You know, we look at the story and say, oh, he wants a drink, and he wants her also to figure out to get to the camels. But she's also saying, no, I recognize that there's a difference between, you know, you're a human being, and these are camels.
Even though he's an
Evan,
it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Right, it doesn't matter. But that's the point. You're a human being, and these are camels, and there's no equivalence. And that is demonstrated in the way that she talks, and there's that thought process.
Wow.
Okay, so just beautiful, beautiful stuff. Wow. Next. So, okay, I like this. Kasher Kilu. So now, Pasuk of Beis, so he's all over this. Pasuk of Alva, Yishmash Te'ilam Acharish. He wants to know if he was successful. He kasher kilu agmalin l'shtos. Ha'ikach ha'ish nezim zahav beka mishkalo. U'shnei tzmidim al-yidei asara zahav mishkalo. So there's a couple things here. The first one is, he kasher kilu. Let's just read it. V'zeh yazman ma be'achrech achar she'eshlima l'shov. In other words, kasher kilu. What does it mean by the time that they finished? And if you know anything about a camel, they can drink a lot of water. How much can a camel drink? I want some research on this. One camel can drink 30 gallons. I don't know how long it takes them to drink. But a camel can drink 30 gallons of water. So how long does it take them to drink? There's some time passing. Okay, so that's kasher kilu. It was a considerable amount of time. Achar she'eshlima l'shov, v'ra'a she'lo ha'isam v'keshes davor avur tirchasa, aval ha'yakom ha'aseh atzad ha'chesed ha'gamur. Okay, she did a heck of a lot of work here. And she doesn't say to him, okay, I did some, you know, like a little mizuman for my services. Give me a tip, please. So kasher kilu. She doesn't stop. She keeps going. And it was all just the kindness of her heart. Okay, that's kasher kilu. Next, take a look at the pasuk. And now let's see if we can ask the question. So they finished to drink. Vayikacha ish nezim zahav beka mishkalo. The man took a nose ring, which weighed a beka. And two bracelets for her hands, asara zahav mishkalam, that they weigh 10 gold. That's their weight, 10 gold. So what's the question? What's the question?
They took.
Why?
He took. What did he do with it?
Gave it to her. Doesn't say that.
No. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say what he did. Honestly, it almost implies like he took it from her. You know, almost. Now, I mean, look, I think it's pretty clear that he's giving her this gift, and because you know we know from later that he gave her the gift, but the language is strange. There's something missing here. Yes, everyone in agreement? Okay, there's something missing. So the problem here is the word vayikach. Okay. How do we translate the word vayikach?
Took.
He took it. Okay, right?
Right.
Wrong. Okay. this is why it's so much fun, okay? Vayikach ish nezim zav. Chaser po ma'as anasina. It doesn't say anything about the giving. Vishiro, Vayikach Nezim Zahav, Vayitein Alapoy. Right? It should say that he took it and he placed it. And that he gave her or placed them on her hands. His translation is that he put them on her hands. But that's what everybody says. But that's not what it says. The pasuk doesn't say that he gave it to her.
Right.
Except that it does say that he gave it to her.
Where?
And where does it say it?
Al-Yudah?
In the word Vayikach.
How is that possible?
How do we translate the word Vayikach? Okay? Next thing. Ve'afshar l'faresh, milas Vayikach, lashon asiro kshira. And he brings proof. What is asiro kshira? Asiro is captivity. And kshira means when somebody's captured, what do you do? Tie them up.
Yep.
Right? You bind something to them, whether it's a chain or something like that. And the proof is it's the first pasuk in Perek Samach Aleph of Yeshayahu. Okay, Pekach Koach refers to captivity. Kuf Vav Ches. So what do we see here? We have a root we're all familiar with.
Kach,
right?
Yeah.
Kach
yeah.
means take, right? Wrong. It means to bind up. So when it says Vayikach, it means that he bound a Nezem Zahav Beka Mishkalo Ushnei Tzmidim Al Yadeha Asara Zahav Mishkalam.
He closed the deal.
There it is.
Yes, yes.
Okay? So again, what's the Ksav HaKabbal doing? He's saying there's something wrong with the pasuk. It doesn't make any sense. How could it not make sense? It's the Torah. Well, we're misunderstanding a word. I don't know of another Mefarish who makes that point.
Wow.
Fascinating. Fascinating.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah. You've seen this before, Rabbi? This kach being tied? You've seen this anywhere else?
I mean, I learned Yeshayahu, but I don't remember. I wish I remembered this kind of stuff. That so I mean, just to finish the point. By the way, I think did I put it in bold? No, I didn't. It's just I look at the last. Oh, I did put it in bold. Look at the last line in the section. Vayikach Nezim Zahav Kashar Nizamim Ala Pa Be'Atzmidim Al Yadeh. That's the Ein Kan Mikra Katzar. That's the main point. Ein Kan Mikra Katzar means there's nothing missing in the pasuk. It's not that it doesn't say that he gave it to her or he tied it to her or whatever it is, bound it to her. That's what Vayikach means. Okay, you know, okay. That's why we're here, folks.
He bound her.
Learn
the Yikach means bound, according to him.
Well, I mean, if you want to take it to another level, that he bound her to an agreement, you can say, I mean, you can take that to the next level if you want. But he's just talking literally in this pasuk. It says that it was placed upon her, and that is what we get from the word Vayikach.
You have to take it to the next level, though, because otherwise, what's he talking to?
All right, the next one I'm just going to do outside. Vihinei Omeid. Okay, let's take a look. Pasuk Lamed. Let's see.
14.
Okay, so she goes into the house, and she and Lavan sees it. Lavan comes, runs out, right? So Lavan runs out to the guy. Vihinei Omeid al Hagmalim al Ha'ayim. Now, what is the what's the question here? The question is that when he first came in Pasuk Yigimel, what does it say? Hine anochi nitzav al ein hamayim. What does nitzav mean?
Standing.
Standing. What does omeid mean?
Standing.
Standing. So, what's the difference? Why does the language change? Okay, so I mean, he just explains what the difference between nitzav and omeid is. Nitzav is somebody who's standing in anticipation of some kind of outcome which is yet unclear. Whereas Omeid is just standing. So when he's standing, when he's Omeid at the end, it's not there's nothing unclear anymore. He knows he found the girl. Whereas when he's Nitzav, he doesn't know if he's going to be successful. So that's the difference in the language, and that's what the Tzav HaKabbalah says. Okay, so we don't have to read that inside. You can read it for yourself if you don't trust me. Okay. All right. Now, when Eliezer goes through this story and he talks to the family, he makes a number of changes. A number of the commentaries point out that in the changes in which he makes, in other words, whether it's changing what Abraham said, or it's, in other words, not presenting exactly accurately the way Abraham gave him a charge of where to go and whom to find, and exactly the story, like he changes the order of a few things. So why does he do that? So many of the commentaries point out that he had to make these adjustments and these changes because if he didn't, then the family would look at him like he was crazy. Or they wouldn't appreciate the level of God's involvement. I mean, you, after he finished the story, they say, "Me Hashem yotza davar." I mean, God made this happen. I mean, it's so clear to everybody because of the way he tells the story. But he has to present it to them in that way, basically to sell them on the idea that this is Basharit. Okay? So here's one of the changes. The El Mishpachti. Remember what Avram said to him? Avram said to him, "I need you to go El Arsi, the El Molarati, to my land and to my birthplace." So I always assume, ever since I started learning Chumash, not from the Rebbe who teaches you one way, in elementary school, I always assume that Avram was saying, "Get whoever you get, but not from Canaan." Based on one of the thoughts which you said before, the Midos, whatever it is, whatever reason about the people of Canaan he didn't like. But go to my Moletus, because the people there are nicer. So he's saying that Avraham was saying to go to my family, okay? Which is contrary to what I would have assumed. I don't have to buy his interpretation, but that's what we're learning, okay? But look at what he says, and we actually learned this in Parshas Lech Lecha, when in his explanation of Lech Lecha me'artzecha u'mimolartecha. Anyone remember? What does Mimolaratacha mean according to the Ksava Kabbalah?
It was a clue.
And anyone remember? It was a
mental
mindset. A mindset. Okay, in other words, he had already left his Moledet. He wasn't in Ur Kasdim anymore. They were in Haran when Avram was told to go. So the point is that your Moledet is the mindset of being connected to your family.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying I think I use the example. You could take the boy out of Brooklyn, but right. So for Avram, you could take the boy out of his family, but he's still in his mind. He's still with his family, and God was saying, "No, you have to leave that. Their beliefs are different." So what Avram was saying is, "Go back to my Moledet." Why? Because I don't really connect to that anymore. I'm in such a different place, but I still want people from my family. I just can't call them. I can't tell you mishpachti because it's a different. It's a different mindset. And that's the point that he makes here. Shame, mishpacha, the ballet. I just told it to you. I don't want to read through it, but that's the idea that he has there. Okay, now, the next one we're going to read inside of, because I love this. This one I actually knew beforehand. It's the next page. Okay. Va'omar el Adoni, ulai lo selech ha'isha acharai. Okay, so I said to my master, maybe the woman is not going to come with me. Right, Ulai. So take a look at the Kliyakar. Not Kliyakar, just kidding. Ksav HaKabal. See, I'm so used to that. Okay. Ulai Ksiv Ba... Ksiv, I'm sorry. Ulai Ksiv Bas Hoysali Eliezer Vayimach Zil Mtso Ela. Rashi says that Eliezer had a daughter and he wanted Yitzchak. Yeah, in other words, he wanted her to not come back. Right? Ulai, look, he wanted her not to come back. Omnam Midrash Rabash Lepanenu Mamar Zeh Lamala Biomro Avraham Ulai Lo Soveh. Remember what he had said? Maybe she won't want to come. V'sham milas ulai malevav. And there, when Eliezer actually tells Avraham that maybe she won't come, it has a vav. V'yir'esh yatzel rabaseinu mechuvan ze milashon ulai atzmo. So there's a lesson they're taking from the word ulai itself. Ki yesh hevdel b'milas pen u'bein ulai. There are two words in the Torah which mean maybe or perhaps. Pen yishumash kisha'ein amedaber chafetz b'metzius hadavar. Pen is used when the person speaking does not want the outcome. Kimo pen yishlach yado. Pen afutz apanei kol aretz. Pen afutz apanei kol aretz is the people in the Migdal Bavel who, lest we be scattered across the world. Pen yikrenu ason. What does Paro say when he says, "Let pen yirbev ayak yisukrenu milcha"? Right? Maybe the Jews are going to become many in number. And then when war comes, etc. Shebechulam das hamadaber al shlila. All of these, the speaker is talking the negative. They don't want that outcome. V'lachein milas pen lo yuchubar im milas lo hiu be'atzma shlila. You don't have to say pen something will not happen. Pen means I don't want it to happen. Pen means lest it should happen. Omnam milas ulai yishamesh gam ken shamadaber yikaveh v'yichal al kim adavar. Ulai is maybe this will happen. Hopefully. I want this to happen. Right, hopefully, right? Akima davar kamo ulai yichanein. Ulai yisapanai. Ilu amar pen yichanein, pen yisai mashmusam lo yichanein. Right, maybe he'll have favor. Maybe he'll find favor. Maybe he'll like me. That's ulai means I want it to happen. If he says pen, that would imply I don't want it to happen. So when he says ulai lo, that's the issue. Ulai lo, what is he saying? That he personally wants the negative. All he would have to say is pen, right? I'm not sure how you do that.
Pen. You still need to say lo.
Pen. I don't know.
You still have to say lo, no? Pen lo se ve.
Pen. Okay. If all right. Like but again. But the point is I'm not figuring out the grammar would work. Okay. It's not hitting me. But the point is that when he says ulai lo se ve, hamuvan mimenu gam kein alavai shelo se ve. He doesn't want her to come. He doesn't want her to come. So what's the question in all this? Do you know what happens in next week's Parsha? Yaakov says, when Rivka is telling him to put on Esav's clothes, he says, "Ulai imusheni avi yayisi beinav kimsateya." Maybe my father is going to touch me, and I'm going to look in his eyes like I'm a trickster.
So he really wants it.
So Ulai would say that he wants Yitzchak to touch him. So the question is why? So I don't remember if it was the Kliyakov or somebody else who said Ulai Yaakov was hoping that Yitzchak would touch him so that Yitzchak would find him out. Because he didn't like the ruse. He didn't like the game. He was only doing it because Rivka told him to do it. Okay, but the Ksav HaKabbalah has a different...
Kibbutim.
Okay, what does he say? Where is it? It's after the period. Ein mulas ulai musav ela al gibusheni. Okay, do you see where I am? Yaakov shamar ulai gibusheni avi. Ki be'emes haya miachel shimushay shaviv me'aviv. He wanted to be touched by his father. Ki sima sayadayim min ha-mavarech ala mavarech. Because the placing of the hands from the blesser onto the blessee, he segula el chalos ha-bracha. So his perspective is that Yaakov wants him to touch him. This way the bracha will actually happen. The other perspective that I just mentioned, I saw in a different commentary that Yaakov wanted out. So, you know, who's to say? I don't know. But the point is that ulai is a desired outcome. He's not saying pen, like maybe it will happen. And because if he says maybe it will happen in a bad way, then I'll be caught. Ulai means he wants it to happen. Okay, but what's driving him is obviously a debate amongst authorities. So we'll leave that as it is. Okay. All right. Okay. A lot of stuff tonight. Okay, Mem Gimel. I'm just going to tell you outside. Rivka is referred to in some cases. She's referred to as a Na'ara, and in some cases she's referred to as an Alma. And the distinction that he makes between a Na'ara and an Alma is that a Na'ara, they both mean a young girl. I once heard actually a different interpretation. There's only two times in the Torah when the word Alma is used. Here with Rivka, and the other one is Miriam. When she goes to find, when she's watching over Moshe, right, and she goes to get Yocheved or when she speaks to Bas Parah, I don't remember when she's referred to as saying, but it's in that story that she's referred to as an Alma. So one of my teachers once pointed out that an Alma is a Na'ara who does Chesed, okay, a young girl who does Chesed. That's one interpretation. So his interpretation is that the difference between a Na'ara and an Alma is that how does he say it? He says, Na'ara is spiritual and Alma is physical. Actually, okay? And because he knows who he's talking about, he knows who his audience is, he doesn't want to focus to them on her spiritual things because that's irrelevant to them. He wants to say, she's a beautiful young lady, she does nice things in the physical realm, and she's going to make a wonderful wife, and that is something which they would find appealing. Okay? All right. There you go. All right, the next one. To me, this one blew my mind. Blew my mind, this next one.
Puzzle.
So, when Puzzle Mem Zayin. Now, he says to her, remember? Is that the next one? Mem Zayin. Okay? So, when he had asked her who she was, what did she say? So, she said in Puzzle Chav Dalib, Matomre Love, Bas Visuel Anochi, Ben Milka Asher Yaladala Lenachor. Okay, when he recounts the story, what does he say? Bas Bisuel Ben Nachor Asher Yaladala Milka. He says that she said that she is the daughter of Bisuel, who is the son of Nachor. What does she say? I'm the daughter of Bethuel, who is the son of Milcah, who's married to Nahor. Okay?
Yeah.
So in other words, what's she attaching herself to?
Mother.
To the mother, to Milcah. Now, they're both Avram's family, right? Nahor, Milcah. Who was Milcah? Anyone remember? Milcah was the daughter of Haran. Okay, that's the end of Parshas Noach. It tells us that Haran had three children, Milcah, Yiscah, and Lot, and that Milcah married Nahor, and that everybody says that Yiscah was Sarai, and Lot, obviously we know who Lot is. Okay, so she's attaching her father to his mother, not to his father, even though Nahor is Avram's brother. So why would she do that? And why would he change it?
Matrilineal.
Okay?
Okay. Wow. Okay.
You ready to have your mind blown?
Let me sit down. Hold on.
Okay. Remember.
Yoshev,
Nova. No. Right. Okay. Remember, we have no idea how many tests Eliezer was putting in here in what he ended up finding out from Rivka. Like, Rivka was so above and beyond everything that he could have possibly dreamed of because of all the hints that the text gives us, which we just need, you know, brilliant commentaries to show us. Okay, so take a look at this. Bas Bisuel ben Nahor. He yichasa as Bisuel achar imo. She attached Bisuel to his mother. V'yamra bas Bisuel ben Milcah. Ki kishehushlach Avram l'ur kazdim, v'ra'u shalosh shalta bo ha'esh. When Avram was thrown into the fire, and they saw that the fire didn't affect him, Amru b'libam halo Haran achi Avraham malik samim v'charashim v'hulachash ala eish shelo tisrof esachav. So Haran is a magician. Haran's the one who made it that Avraham would not survive. Miad nafla eish b'nei shemayim v'sarfo. So actually, look at that. I've never heard that one before. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
So the fire came and burned Haran.
Right.
He didn't jump in the custom then. He wasn't it.
Okay. So that's what he's saying here. Kemavur b'targum Yonatan ben Uziel sof parshas Noach. That's where he gets this from. Right, obviously there is another view that says that they asked him, whose side are you on, Avram or Nimrod? And he says, I'm with Avram, because he figured, you know, it could happen. Mm-hmm. But the point is that but no matter how you look at it, I don't think it really matters. The point is that if Haran was a magician guy, and he could save Avram, couldn't he save himself? Yeah. And the answer is, no. Hinei al-idei Haran is kadesh im shemayim barabi. So what is Haran? Haran's death caused a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Okay? So Haran becomes actually elevated through his death in stature. L'chein yichasa Rivka is Bisuel avia al shem imo Milcah. So Rivka, when she wants to talk about her yichus, she wants to talk about how she comes from, not Nahor.
Haran.
From Haran. Mind blown. Liosa bas Haran. Ish hamala sheniskade shem shemayim al yodob rabin. Because of the Kiddush Hashem that came from Haran. Uchmo tofel abo achara ikar. Hosiv achagach asher yolda l'nachor. Nachor is like an afterthought. Nachor, irrelevant. I come from Haran, through my mother. It's amazing, right? Amnam Eliezer b'yosob beis Bisuel. But Eliezer is a smart guy. He says, where am I? I'm in the house of Bisuel. Okay, I'm in the Middle East. In the Middle East, who wears the pants in the house? The man. Okay, so what am I going to... He couldn't say what she had actually said. It looks like he's detracting from Besuel's honor. To suggest that Besuel, that his father is not important. Eliezer changed it to say, she's the daughter of Besuel. The latest Milcah Ketafel Acharav.
That's
mind blown? Mind blown. And that just shows, but it shows who Rivka was. Mind blown.
Wow.
Amazing. Okay, another question we have. We're going to turn the page now. So they have the whole conversation. Is Rivka going to come? Rivka agrees to come. Okay, bottom of page 118, last pasuk. Aikacha Eved es Rivka vayilach. Aikacha Eved. Did he tie her up? Okay, that was a joke. Okay, okay. Aikacha Eved es Rivka. Okay, vayilach. So he took her and then he went. Okay. The Yitzchak ba nibo be'er lachai ro'i v'hu yoshev be'eretz ha'negev. Okay, what's the question, folks? The Yitzchak ba, Yitzchak came, mibo. What does mibo mean? From a place called bo?
From coming.
Yitzchak came from coming. What on earth does that mean? Okay, be'er lachai ro'i. Okay, so the Be'er L'Charui, the Ksav HaKabbalah is going to say, it's not a big problem, because the Lamed very often is implied. Okay, you know, Lot bought Tsoar. Okay, you know, Lot came to Tsoar. Sometimes you have a hay at the end, like Mitzrayma, they came to, you know, which means to. But the Lamed is often implied. So the fact that it says Be'er L'Charui is not a problem. But it doesn't even say, but again, what's the litmus test that he's going to use? V'yitzchak ba mibo, what's on mibo? A zakev katan. What's a zakev katan? It's what's called a ta'am mafsik. It's a pause. So v'yitzchak ba mibo. It's not v'yitzchak ba mibo Be'er L'Charui. The Yitzchak came from coming to Be'er L'Charui. It's not that. V'yitzchak ba mibo. So we have to figure out what mibo means. Okay? So he says, Perush HaMefarshim, Dachuk, Nenegina HaSatam, Shehitim, maybe Bezakev Katan. He says, anyone who starts attaching Mibo to Be'er L'Charui, they're ignoring the Trup. Can't do that. The Trup is punctuation. And that's why it's important that everybody learn Trup and how to lane, boys and girls, for example, men and women, because the punctuation is important. V'nir lamar, demilas mibo musav al bias rivka. Okay, the word bias here means coming, it's not sexual. And it means that mibo refers to Rivka's coming. In other words, Yitzchak was a mensch. Yitzchak ba, why did Yitzchak come? Mibo, because Rivka was coming. He either timed it, knew when Eliezer was coming back, or he saw from a distance when they were coming back. He saw they were coming, and so Yitzchak went out to greet them. And the proof, we don't have time to go through it, but that's what that's essentially what he says. And what's the proof? Okay. Next pasuk. Vayetzei Yitzchak lasuach basadel lifnos erev. Vayisa ina vayar v'yineg malim bo'im. Vatisa rifka sina vateras Yitzchak vatipol me'al v'mol. And she saw Yitzchak coming towards them. So in other words, what's the chiddush here? That the word mibo means that he is coming because she is coming. That it's her bow that is causing him to go out because he's a mensch. And if you want to take a Mustar Haskell, you know, you say when you know the guests are coming, you go out to greet them. But in this particular case, he's going out for the success of his zivug, and he goes into a little more detail about that. But I wanted to I didn't want to conclude with that because I did want to get to a couple of other things. Okay, so again, the chiddush there is what the word mibo means, and it's referring to Rivka's coming.
Maybe this should be muster for how one should treat a zivug, right? You should go out there and try to, you know.
The man should go out to the wife.
Amen.
What was the business of Yetzer Yitzchak L'Suach HaSada about Mencha?
I mean, he talks about it also, but it's in there. If you want, we could talk about it afterwards, after the class. I don't want to. I want to try to. Actually, you know what? I did not give it to you. He has Lasuch Basadeh here, and I cut it out in the thing that I gave him. Okay. All right. Vayeha Haveha. This is fascinating. We're not going to read it inside, but I'm going to tell it to you. Take a look at the next pasuk, right? Yitzchak brings her into the not the next pasuk. You know what I mean? Pasuk Tes Samach Zayin. Last pasuk in the chapter. Yitzchak brings her to the tent of his mother. She became his wife, and he loved her. Okay, so the question is, you're telling us a man loves his wife? What does that mean?
Yeah.
So he actually focuses on the word about the hilo li'isha. And I'm not really a big fan of this commentary, because in general, I don't like the viewpoint that says that Rivka was 3 years old. But if you just skip to the parts which I put in bold in your handout, he talks about, just above this, and I gave a few of the examples which we know about, he talks about how it's always the man who's taking a wife. It's always the man who's taking a wife. Right? Vayikach Avram ben Acholahem, Vayikach Aram ben Yocheved, Vayikach Aram. It's always the man taking the woman. But here it says, Vatihi lo li'isha, that she became a wife to him. Okay? In other words, it seems that it's all on, it's on her, what she's doing. So, following the view that Rivka was 3, which I find troubling and I don't really like, but he says, "Lo haya Yitzchak noeg ba minag ishus kevan de ina bas leida." Yitzchak could not have had relations with her; she's a child, so he can marry her. And he talks about how having relations with her is a waste of seed, which is, you know, kind of ridiculous. I mean, it's not ridiculous; it is a waste of seed, but there are much bigger problems. Okay, with all this. But therefore, he says, "Lachein lo tolakra nisuin elam yisido rak yisido." So the nisuin part is not viewed as coming from his side; it's coming from her side. He aisa lo liisha. She became a wife to him to do everything that a wife does for a husband. Her responsibilities to him are not marital relations; they are whatever else they are. Kamashi isha osalabala. But from his perspective, it wasn't a complete marriage, because he wasn't having relations with her. So again, it's a satisfactory response to that idea of her being three. I find that very troubling. I found a Tosfos in I think Sota that talks about why she was of birthable age in the sense that she was a teenager, which is a lot more palatable, and that's a different discussion. And not going to get into that any further.
Okay.
We can talk about it afterwards.
All right.
Okay. Vayinachem achare imo. Just achare imo. What is vayinachem achare imo? What is achare imo? That he was comforted after his mother. After his mother.
After the death of his mother.
So he says two things. Number one, that achare imo became a toar l'rivka. That it became like her title. That this is now your life, achare imo. Okay, there's a member of our shul who refers to his wife as Ezer. Okay, say so it's a, you know, because we're not gonna get into it.
Okay,
it's a title, which is, but that's really what the Torah describes the wife as being, right? So for her, she's referred to as achare imo, after my mother. It's taking over. In other words, it's taking over in my life and in my view. There was a woman in my life, and now you're achareimo. I'm moving on to the next chapter. It's achareimo. That's number one. The other thing he says, it's ki'ilu amar bi'achareimo. That it's vayinachem in the time that's now after his mother, in this next stage of his life. That's what it implies. Okay, again, I'm just sharing with you his answer to a troubling word. I had begun saying that I was going to give you the explanation for Avraham. So that's why I didn't want to do this last thing. So take a look at the pasuk regarding Avraham's death. Pasuk Zayin. Ve'ela yemei shnei chayei Avraham. These are the days of the life of Avraham. So first of all, it does say it.
It does say it.
And look at the next phrase. Asher chai. That Avraham lived. So first of all, it does say Shnei Chayei Avraham. Okay, that's number one. Number two, it says Asher Chai, that Avraham lived. What does that mean? I mean, if you're going to tell me the years of a person's life, doesn't that mean that a person lived, right? So he says, so his answer is actually different than the Kli Yakar's. I actually like the Kli Yakar better. But he says the same, the Or HaChaim says the same thing. He says that Avram, all the Avos were supposed to live to be 180, but Avram died at 175. Why did Avram die five years early? Because of Esav, right? He shouldn't see Esav go off. So these are the days of the years of Avram's life that he lived. Avram should have lived 180, but he only lived 175. Asher Chai. That's his answer. Remember the Kli Yakar's answer? No, not to besmirch the Aksav HaKabbalah in the Aksav HaKabbalah class, but the Kli Yakar's answer was Asher Chai, that Avram made the most out of his life.
Yeah, that's
Asher Chai. That, you know, people, they go through their life and, you know, this day was a waste. What did you do today? Nothing. He says, no, that's not Avram. Asher Chai means that he lived every day to the max. And that is another lesson. So, amen. All right, Yishkoyach, everybody. Thank you. Good job.
One question for you.